Karen, that was a great choice. Thank you. We've worked several times to engage Willie Phipps in concert in a couple of the prisons where we go. We haven't been successful yet, but we haven't given up. I like the word never as used in that song. Most of the time I have come to decide that the use of that word is improper for me because I don't know how to use that word. But when it comes to Jesus and his promises to you and to me, the word never is appropriate because he will never leave you. Never. And in our opening song this morning, I especially appreciated the phrase, "Place thou my trembling hand in thine." If you have any idea that you can put your hand in Jesus' hand, forget it. You can't reach that far. He's done all the reaching, all the way from the throne of Almighty God here for each one of you and me. Welcome to God's house. I like to say this is his favorite place to be on Sabbath morning. And I'm so glad that he has a number of other favorite places as well. And that through the power of the Holy Spirit, he can do what we don't understand. My usual practice is to be standing down there. But this morning I thought that was just one more piece of process to deal with that we could do without. So here I am. I have trouble speaking if I can't walk, so I'll just have to wave my hands more. I hope you noticed a sign outside the church. Same journey, same God, new beginning. Because we are on a journey. Through our life. And Jesus wants to walk every step of that journey with you. He wants to put your hand in his. He wants to be your constant, never failing, always present companion. And this book is his preferred method of sharing with you how important you are to him. And if you read the notes in your bulletin this morning, and I hope you read those, they're not just there for fun. There's a purpose. Jesus is talking to his disciples before his crucifixion, and he says, "Now, after I'm resurrected, I'm going to go before you into Galilee." They hadn't even yet accepted the fact that he was going to die. They didn't understand that. That was a complete shock to them, even though he had repeatedly tried to help them understand what he was here to accomplish. And yet, he was telling them that, hey, I know you don't get it, but remember, you're forgiven. So in our foolishness, in our exuberance, in our ignorance, in our weakness, we try to impress God and fall on our faces. And then we're worried about forgiving ourselves before we accept his forgiveness. When he's given us his forgiveness from the beginning of eternity. And he invites us to rest in the arms of his forgiveness and provision. As he puts your trembling hand in his. The story this morning in Matthew chapter 14 is the second time that Jesus is with the disciples in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. And apparently, they didn't understand what he was trying to teach them the first time, so there was a second time. Let's bow our hearts for a moment. Papa, we're in your house. We're here celebrating the beauty of you and the excitement of each new day, each new beginning that you provide. So I ask, as always, that no matter what I say, you will speak your true love to each heart. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. And it's often the case that he takes us in circles. We can see that in the history of the children of Israel. Right after the deliverance from the Egyptians at the Red Sea, where they walk through on dry ground, I forgive the artists that show the mud puddles. The Bible says dry ground. First thing they did was start whining about the fact they didn't have any water. So he took care of that for them. And a little while later, they're whining again about water, and he took care of that for them. And then they're whining again about water, and he took care of that for them. We've lost our way by a failure of trust. And more than anything else, I've come to believe that the deepest need of our hearts is trust. Trust doesn't have anything to do with what I can see. If I can see it, it's not trust. And it's difficult to trust when you've just slammed your thumb in the car door. You're not thinking about trust at that moment. Or when you're laying in the hospital bed for whatever reason. You know, this can't be God's plan for my life, and I agree, that's not. James tells us God doesn't tempt any man. But we live in a broken world, and we're broken people, and there's an enemy of God that wants to destroy you. And so often we let him be effective. I don't want anyone to feel chastised by what I'm going to say next, but I think it's important that I say it, so I will. There was a song out, popular in religious circles maybe a decade ago. It talked about this family. They had 7 or 8 kids. And about their church attendance patterns. It said when one of the children gets a cold, the whole family has to stay home and wipe his nose. The devil will do anything he can to keep you from celebrating the excitement of his presence on the day he wants to spend with you. And it's important. So here we are. We're looking at Matthew 14. And John has some great things to say about this same experience, but we're in Matthew today. Jesus had just finished feeding 5,000 men plus women and children. So there could easily have been 15 or 20,000 people there. And of course, they were all excited about it, and they thought, wow, we need to take this man by force and make him our king. And Jesus knew what was up, and it said he sent the multitudes away. We're in verse 23. And what did he do after that? He said he went up in a mountain to pray. He needed strength because from a human standpoint, it would have been really easy to go along with the wishes of the crowd. And you'll notice also, in verse 22, it says, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship. In other words, he literally forced them to leave because they were all for this make Jesus king thing. And he needed them to get out of there before they got into trouble. So can we say that when they got in the boat and they were traveling across the lake, that they were doing the will of God? Can we say that? Somebody say something. They were doing the will of God when they got in that boat and started out across the sea. What happened? They're out there in that boat, and all of a sudden, as is often the case there, a horrible storm came down upon them. How many times have you heard God's voice clearly in your heart and you head in that direction and all of a sudden you find yourself laying face down in the mud and you're wondering, why in the world did I ever listen to that? Why did I think that was God explaining himself to me? This can't be his plan or I wouldn't be laying here in this uncomfortable position. How often does that happen? It's about trust. That's not the time to yank your hand, your trembling hand, out of Jesus' hand. That's not the time. So let's think about the timeline here for a minute. So it says here that straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go before him onto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. So as we look at the progression of time, he sent them away during the daylight hours in the afternoon time. And it talks about the evening coming. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Do you experience the contrary winds in your life? Do they beat on you? Do they splash water all over you? Do they threaten to drown you? The Sea of Galilee, near as I can calculate, the distance from where they were and where Jesus was sending them was about 8 miles. It says they were in the midst of the sea. So we can imagine they were about 4 miles out. We don't know how long the storm had been going on, but it says in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. You think that was a bumpy walk? Do you think the waves made winds? Can you see him? Think about it in your mind's eye, these big waves and somebody trying to walk across them. And why the fourth watch? This wasn't a surprise to Jesus. He knew what was happening to them. So if they got started in the first watch, which was 6 to 9, and in the second watch the storm hit them, that was probably about 11 o'clock at night. And yet he didn't show up till the fourth watch, which was sometime between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. Now you remember the first time that they were in a storm together, Jesus was in the boat with them. Okay? And even then, they flunked the trust test deeply. If you remember the story, Jesus was in the back of the boat sleeping. The storm didn't wake him up. Their whining woke him up. Don't you care that we're going to die? Does that sound like whining to you? This is your fault. We're here with you. Why is this happening to us? Does that sound familiar? Well, this time, Jesus has sent them by themselves. And it said that they saw him and they thought it was a ghost. Heaven always tells us not to be afraid. They were as safe out there in that boat, in that storm, as they were when Jesus was actually in the boat with them. But even when he was in the boat with them, they didn't feel safe. It's not about feelings. It's about Jesus' promise. And I get so amused at Peter. If it's you, tell me to come. Well, if it was a ghost, wouldn't he tell him to come so he could drown him? I mean, what kind of sense did that make? What an ignorant thing Peter asked for. Sometimes God gives us what we ask for. Come on, Peter. So Peter got out of the boat and he started walking on the water. Can you imagine, again, the waves? Can you imagine maybe he's looking at Jesus and one of the waves is tall enough for a minute? It almost seems like he's not going to be able to see Jesus anymore, and he freaks out. His trust has disappeared, and what happens when his trust disappears? What happens? He starts to sink. There's no time for saying, Lord, I'm a mess. I messed it up. There's no time for an apology. There's no time for anything. Lord, save me! Verse 31. Heaven never hesitates. Immediately, Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Again, failure of trust. Failure of trust. And where were they headed? They were headed to Gennesaret, the place they were going the last time they were in the boat. Only this time, the two demoniacs turned into gospel ministers have produced a crop of people who want to listen to Jesus. Because the last time the boat came to Gennesaret, they begged Jesus to leave because he'd just produced economic disaster for the whole city. This time, verse 35, and when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were distressed, diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Perfectly. Completely. He didn't leave out something. If you came with an ulcer, he healed the ulcer, but he also took care of your hangnails. Perfectly, completely. God doesn't do a halfway job. Ever. But it is a journey. It is a process. And I want you to think about the boat and the water. Life is like the water. One minute it's beautiful and it's peaceful and it's serene. The next minute there's a horrible storm. I want you to understand that God is as much holding on to your trembling hand in the storm as he was when the water was calm. And he invited Peter out of the boat because he wants his children touching people who are caught in the storm. We're going to have a baptism this morning. I get so excited about those. That's my favorite activity, and I hate getting wet. Caleb, thank you for the opportunity today. You, my friend, cannot imagine, and I can't either, the hundreds, maybe even thousands of people that have been interceding on your behalf. That's what it's all about. That's God's plan. And Jesus himself gave us an example. He said we're supposed to do what he showed us to do. And he himself was baptized. And I want you to think about this for a minute. This water that we're talking about, this sea of life, this stormy sea. Jesus buried himself in that stormy sea. Down underneath the storm, the water's calm. Jesus went down under to have the right to hold on to our trembling hand on the surface, and he invites us to experience the peace of allowing our old self to die as we go under the water where his peace abides. Again, Jesus arrived several hours too late, but right on time. That's his specialty. Arriving late, but right on time. So this morning, as we prepare for the baptism, please think and maybe sing together. I don't know what Karen and Martin have planned, but think about the fact that your life is a journey that God has given to you, and he wants to enjoy the trip with you, and that he plans that every morning is a new beginning. The Bible tells us he is new every morning. Thank you. Let's bow our hearts again. Papa, we're excited about today because you're here. We're excited about what you've done. We're excited about what you're doing. And thank you for continuing to love us and forgive us and provide us with evidence that you're trustworthy. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. pardon. Oh, I know this one won't. So this is an amazing time today, something that we've been looking forward to for a long while. But you know, God's timing is perfect. He's never late, even when he shows up later than we think that he should. We talked about that. And there's something that I didn't mention when I was speaking from the pulpit a moment ago. You notice that before Jesus went on that excursion walking on the water, he spent a number of hours in prayer alone on the mountain. We spend way too little time in prayer, way too much time spinning around. More prayer. Too much prayer is never enough. And so this morning, Caleb's been on quite a journey. We've shared part of that journey in recent months. Caleb, thank you for allowing us to be beside you during that journey. And the devil hates Caleb. We have evidence of that. He tried to prevent this from happening today. And I've asked David to share just a bit about what happened. Is that yesterday? Yesterday. We've got microphones. And don't tell us that you don't need the microphone, because you don't. But we do, because we need to hear you.
Good morning, church family. It is truly a blessing to be here today to witness what is happening right before us right now. Before I say anything else, I would like to take an opportunity to read a scripture. That is Mark 16:16. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved.
Amen.
I believe that the reason everybody is in church this morning is because they believe, correct? How many times have you talked to someone and they talk about predestination or preordained, that God has already preordained our lives? Caleb made a decision quite a while ago, I believe, to be baptized. And over the last year and a half, he has been sorely tried. Caleb contracted cancer. And for the last year, he's been battling cancer. He's worked very hard. He's done a lot of things. And through your prayers, the prayer warriors that surround Caleb's family, his parents, His cancer has been brought into remission. But the devil wasn't finished. Yesterday, Caleb was on his way to work. How many of you have gotten up in the morning and gone about your day and had the thought, you know, I wished I'd have just stayed in bed this morning? That's exactly what Caleb said. Because as he was on his way to work, I-76, a tractor trailer, probably not paying attention, listening to too much music on the radio, I don't know. Rear-ended a truck and horse trailer. Now, that semi hit the horse trailer so hard that it was a fifth wheel, it broke the ball and the tongue went through the cab of the truck. That's pretty hard, isn't it? So another car, trying to avoid that accident, hits a guardrail, two tires are punctured, spins out, and completely broadside closes the road, sitting in both lanes of the highway. So here comes Caleb in another tractor trailer. Well, this tractor trailer starts slowing down, and Caleb doesn't know what's going on because it's in a curve, so he moved over to the shoulder of the road to avoid hitting the tractor trailer. And there was another car sitting there that had just pulled over. and Caleb ran into that car. Now, the next thing that happened cannot be filmed in Hollywood. His truck did a 360 roll. Okay, 360, like twisting this way. And at the same time, did a 360 nose to tail. And landed on all four tires on the road. No one was hurt in that accident. So you think of all the powers that at work yesterday in this young man's life. God wants him. Praise the Lord.
Amen. And I bet you were wearing your seatbelt. You were not wearing your seatbelt? Okay. That just adds more to the story, doesn't it? I won't ask if you're going to start wearing it. Thank you. So as you can see, the devil was determined that Caleb would not be here this morning. Who has won? God has won. Christ has already won. The sea of life and the storms that come are not going to be permitted to overwhelm Caleb or any one of you. Because Jesus has already won. Caleb, do you have anything you want to say? All right then. This is an awesome opportunity. This is the only reason for the church to exist, is to bring people to a safe place where they can hang out with Jesus. That's the only purpose for church. If there's any other purpose in your mind, you're in the wrong spot. Because it's about outreach and invitation and acceptance. And you've been accepted a long time. God planned for you before you were born. Nothing that's happened to you or will happen to you has ever or will catch him by surprise. So Caleb, I love you in the Lord. And because you have decided to give yourself totally to Jesus, it's now my privilege and honor to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And now, friends, there's a party going on up in heaven because it says there's joy in heaven over one. And here we have one. So let the party go on. That's appropriate. Thank you. Thank you. And the church said, Amen. So Caleb, in a very real sense, like we've talked, Jesus has been walking with you your whole life. And today, the process has just taken another step, a bolder step, a visible step, where you have said, you know, I recognize you're in my life, and I want to be all in. I'm done. So we want to congratulate you and praise God for you. Now, would you mind standing up here with me? I'll do the best I can to embarrass you. After all he's been through, I don't think he embarrasses very easy, do you? So, because of your baptism, I now want someone here to make a motion that we accept you into membership here at the Fort Lupton Church. All right. And there must be a second. All right. All in favor, yell out, yes.
Yes.
Is there any opposed? So Caleb, welcome officially into the family of God. You've always been a member, but now it's official. And we have here for you a certificate that we've filled out with your name and your address and everything here, so you have that to remember this day. All right? And because there's more to it than a certificate, I talked to your dad a little bit about this. I have no idea what your reading interests are, but he seemed to indicate that you like the King James Bible. So this is a little departure from that. What this is a dual Bible, and you see it's got his name on the front in gold. Isn't that pretty? So this is the NIV and the Message in one Bible. And when you open it, there's the NIV on one side of the page and the Message on the other side. They go right side by side down the page so you can compare them. So I hope this will be useful to you. Now, I don't treasure one version of the Bible over another. I think in the King James. But God has gifted many other translators with different ways of expressing themselves that add color to his word. So I hope this will be something useful and joyful to you. And every time you use it, you'll remember this occasion. So does anybody have anything they'd like to say? Oh, come on. Yes. And you know it wasn't a fluke. There's no accidents, no coincidences in God's family. Yes. Caleb, is there anything you want to say? Okay. Let's pray. Papa, we're excited for the journey you're walking with Caleb. Thank you for not running faster or walking faster than he can keep up. Thank you for holding on to him even when he doesn't have the ability to hang on to you. The deal you've made with him is that you're never going to leave. And so we thank you this morning for Caleb, for his persistence, for his determination, and for your leadership and protection and provision in his life. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Wow. Kind of really don't know what to say at this point. I'm just excited about what God does. And I want to say to those of you that have not yet taken this step, that it's an important step. It's part of a journey. And it's a necessary part of the journey. Something that Jesus asks us to do as we follow him. So Caleb, thank you for giving us a practical example this morning. So this is an open invitation to any of you who are thinking about this in your own life. And I want to say thank you to those that helped make this possible, that got the baptistry filled and got everything set up. There's things that go on behind the scenes that we don't get to see, but I want you to be known and recognized, and I want to thank you. So Karen, I think... Right. To be here today. But if you weren't here, it wouldn't matter. So thank you for your attention and attendance and the provision of your purpose. So as we leave your house, thank you for taking us with you. In Jesus' name, amen. And remember, we have fellowship meal. We expect everybody to stay. Till we meet.